Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 46. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 46. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 46 reads this way. It says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you again, once again, for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then again knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we praise you and thank you for your presence this evening, and ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide our hearts and minds as we look to your word, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and truth for your honor and glory and our blessing, and that you might truly make us the vessels to your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise for that, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is "That All the Earth May Know That There Is a God in Israel." And we can also title it "The Purpose of God's Glory in Us." Obviously, he was using David for his honor and glory, as he desires to be merciful to all of us and to use us in a way that would honor and glorify him. I want to show you something. This is going to be our text. We're going to come back over here. Hold your place right there if you got a little bookmark. And if you'd like, I'd like to take you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Ephesians 1, 17, and I want you to see something here and who we're talking about. Sometimes we misunderstand this. Sometimes we're not ready to receive it, amen? And the Lord wants to open our eyes to see something here, I think, that's very important, and maybe you've already seen it. Praise God if you have. Verse 17 says this: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory." So we're talking about the Father of glory, right? This is important. Follow this here. Watch this. And by the way, this is a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church. So this is one of Paul's greatest prayers. There's another one in here in the book of Ephesians, but this one in particular is a powerful prayer. This is what he's praying. He's wanting to lift up the saints here at Ephesus, that they might even grow in God's grace that has been given to them. We're not going to go back and read that. You can back up to verse 15 and you can get a little bit more of that. But notice this again, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Who's giving us these things? The Father of glory, right? We've got that? All right. So remember, this is the main idea here. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Whose calling? The Father of glory. "And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance." Whose inheritance? The Father of glory. If we're not careful, we're thinking, because we are joint heirs with Christ, but God is wanting us to know that this is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where? In the saints. Did you see that right there? Look at verse 18 again. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Wow, that's a revelation that God wants us to understand, that God looks at you and I as his inheritance to honor and glorify him. That's powerful. Notice verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of whose power?" Well, the Father of glory. Of his power to who? To usward who believe, according to the working of his, the Father of glory, mighty power. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful. Keep that thought in mind, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed, and he will never change, and we thank the Lord for that. So
That's just by way of introduction. So when we look at David, I want you to know, go back there to the book of 1 Samuel 17, that God hasn't changed. His plan has still been the same. And his inheritance is to his honor and glory in the saints. I don't understand that. Okay, I'm just going to let you know up front. I don't understand how God says, you are my glory. You are the one I want to, I have chosen you as my inheritance to my honor and glory. God has chosen us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as his inheritance to honor and glorify himself in the saints. That's humbling, is it not? That is amazing, but that's God's plan. So tonight, I just want to look at two thoughts in our text, and I want to back up to verse 41, and that is the objects of God's wrath, right? That's the lost. Those are the ones who reject and resist the love and the mercy of God. And then the objects, plural, of God's glory, and those are his saints, his children. And so notice what's happening here. And again, we already looked at how David was being led by the Spirit and yielded to the Spirit and had the mercy of God and the meekness of God when he was dealing with his brother Eliab, when he was dealing with King Saul. He was very merciful and gracious to them. And that is the work of God. And I don't understand this, but I will tell you, God gives you and I confidence to know that he is directing our lives. He gave David confidence. He knew. No words were exchanged. That's how the Spirit of God works. There was a still small voice that told David, I am going to defeat Goliath through you. And listen, God knows the whole story from the very beginning before it was ever written. Before history had ever taken place, he already knew that this battle between Goliath and David was going to take place. He also knew, and I believe used, the giant's own words against him. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. David used the very same words God already knew. And the Philistines, this giant and the Philistines, were going to be bird food. Okay? And God communicated that to his servant David. Remember what he said to the king, thy servant David. May you and I realize that we are servants of God Almighty and his authority is supreme in our lives. If we will commit to say, Lord, what you have spoken, what you have said is your authority, and I'm going to honor and glorify that. By the way, God said in the New Testament that he has set up all authority. So whoever is in authority, may you and I see, if we're not careful, we'll do what the flesh does, and the flesh tries. By the way, human authority is not perfect, but God put them for the punishment of evildoers. And I want to remind you, during the time of the Apostle Paul, when he penned that down in Scripture, Nero was the emperor, using Christians to light up his gardens. And he says, we need to obey the authority because they've been placed there by God. So if we're not careful, we do what the flesh wants to do and we discredit or look at the imperfections and the flaws and the failures of people to excuse ourselves from praying for them and really being merciful and wanting God's blessings in their life. If they're lost, Lord, open up their eyes and leave the rest with you. We're not responsible for the results. Our responsibility is to follow what God has said and not make excuses for ourselves to disobey God. Because in doing that, we will find ourselves in the very same place that Eliab found himself. Now, when he was sneering at David, did he think he was right? Absolutely he did. But he was blind and could not see the truth. And by the way, when Saul said, hey, you can't go against this giant, do you think that King Saul believed that? Yeah, he did believe it. Why? Because he was being guided by the flesh. He was looking at, he couldn't see God. Eliab couldn't see God. May that not be said of us. Listen, may God be holy and righteous every time. And whatever he says, Lord, give me the insight, give me the desire to want to follow and obey you, even if it rubs me the wrong way. And so we need to be careful that we're following what God has said. And so notice with me in verse 41, and I want you to look at the objects of God's wrath. And this is the Philistines' unknown approach. He didn't even know. Goliath never faced a spirit-filled saint. Goliath, all he experienced was the physical realm. And he didn't even realize. Do you remember what the Bible says, said about King Nebuchadnezzar? That God gave Judah into his hand. Nebuchadnezzar thought, boy, with my might, God brought all these things. God brings everything to pass. And even in this giant's life, he thought he was doing it by his might because of his great stature and his greatness. And he had never before in his life faced a spirit-filled saint. And what did God pick? He picked a little stripling, if you will. We call him a young whippersnapper in our day, right? And by the way, that was still, as we would say, wet behind the ears. Amen. He wasn't what you would consider to be any kind of a foe at all. And the reason why God did that is because he is still the same, and he picks the weak things to confound the wisdom of this world and the strength of this world. You know what that means? When you look at yourself, when you say, well, I'm weak, well, then you're on the right side. Amen? But your God is going to empower your life if you will seek him and ask him to do that. Lord, glorify yourself in me. You've said, I just saw it tonight, that we are the inheritance of God. And to glorify the Lord to his honor and glory in the saints. That's amazing that God wants to do that. So verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. So here's this fellow, he's got an armor bearer, and he's approaching David, and he's not, no doubt, listen, this is confusing to him, and the Bible says, let's look at verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, looked about. He didn't look at David, he looked about. What? He's looking, and you know what he was saying? What we would say today, you gotta be kidding me. Are you for real? Are you trying to make me laugh? That's no doubt, that's how he felt. In fact, the Bible says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Now that word disdain is the feeling that someone or something is unworthy of one's consideration or respect. In other words, he had contempt for David, by the way, which made him angrier. Amen. He was already ready to fight. Now he's really fit to be tied because he looked at it as an insult. You're going to send, do you see who I am? And God said, yep, I see exactly who you are, and this is all you're going to get, and guess what? You're going to lose. And so listen, that's the way the Lord works to confound, because the world would say, he doesn't stand a chance. Amen? There's no way that David is going to win. Did David wonder if he was going to win? Oh, no. He knew he was going to win. Guess what? In Christ Jesus, are we winners? Amen. And we will never lose if we will abide in Christ. We will never lose. See, that's the key. Not just because you're saved. Oh, no. Abide in Christ. And if you don't know what that means, that is a good question to ask God to show you personally. What does it mean for you, not the preacher, not the Sunday school teacher, and not your fellow believer, but what does it mean for me, God? What does it mean for me to abide in you that you might bear your fruit? Help me to understand that. I want to seek that, and God will reveal it. God will show it. He desires to show all of his children wonderful truths that will enhance our relationship with him. So he says, verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy and of a fair countenance. All right? And then we find here in verse 43, the Philistine's unknown demise. He did not know. He had a disdain for David, but now he didn't even know. He didn't even know this was going to be his last day on earth. He thought, oh, this is going to be effortless, right? No trouble at all. They should have brought somebody else out. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog? Well, in the eyes of God, I'm sorry. As an unbeliever, you are. And so he said, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Needless to say, he was just a little bit unhappy. All right. And by the way, when we're unhappy, we'll never see the truth. When we're unhappy, something has happened to who that has displeased us. When we are unhappy, who are we thinking about? Let me give you a clue. Not God. Not God. When we are unhappy, we are thinking about what the world calls numero uno, number one, ourselves. And so mark it down. When we're unhappy, we may be in the wrong place, right? Unless God is doing a work, okay? So in this particular case, God, this Philistine was not seeking the Lord. So he says, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, listen to what he says to him, ready? Come to me. He was a big man, wasn't he? He was, really. But come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. Question, did he believe this was going to take place? That he was going to feed David? Oh, yeah. You know, the giant thought David was a slam dunk. No contest. Out of his league. And really, the truth is, David really was out of his league. But what the giant didn't consider is David's God. And David's God was behind him. And by the way, listen, God wants to use you and me to defeat the world's giants that are in our realm. And what that does is it glorifies the Lord and it brings us to the place of worship because we cannot defeat Goliath in our life, but God can. And God wants to. It glorifies him. Whatever the giants are, they may be personal giants, they may be giants in the world. What's a giant in the world? Somebody that irritates you to no end. God wants to give you the grace to be merciful and genuinely love them. Because God, listen, you know, when we fail the Lord with gentleness and kindness and long-suffering and the fruits of the Spirit, basically, right? When we fail the Lord, you know what we're really proving to ourselves? That is not natural to us. That is not natural to us. That's unnatural. In fact, it's supernatural. It takes God in us. And God is not wanting us to... That's like if we gave you a crash course in Spanish and you took it for 2 weeks and you learned some words. I don't know how many, but you were able to do some kind of communication, right? Like, where's the bathroom? Whatever it might be. You've communicated. And you go down to Mexico and you are speaking Spanish. Do you think the Mexican people believe you're from Mexico? Do you think they might think this is not their first language? Do you think they might think that? They would be able to tell. You would know that your Spanish doesn't sound like their Spanish at all, right? And if somebody were to speak to you in English, Spanish would go out the door and you would start speaking English. You know why? Because it's not natural. But here's what is natural, English. Why, it's effortless. Why, whatever you think, you speak. Because it's natural. And God wants the Spirit of God to become so comfortable in our lives that he wants, listen, and we can't make that happen, but God can. God can allow the mercy of God to flow through our lives that we'll step back and we'll always, always be in awe and in wonder of the work of God in our lives. Because the one thing that we'll know, that's not natural for us. We know what we would do, naturally speaking, and when God intervenes, that puts us, the believers, at awe with God. And that's what God wants. We praise him, and God's honored and glorified. So again, verse 44, the Philistine said unto David, come unto me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and of the beasts of the field. That's what he thought. Now, I want to just take a few moments now and consider our last thought, and that is the objects, God's people, of God's glory. Look at verse 45. Then said David unto the Philistines, and I want, listen to what he says here very carefully. You'll not sense the flesh at all. You will sense the Spirit of God working through David, and this is God's plan for all of his saints. So David said unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He observed that. That was easily seen, and that was the truth. But I come to thee, how? He didn't say, oh, you don't know me. You better back up, Jack. You don't know me. I'm a shepherd. That would have sent him shaking. He didn't do that. He said, listen, but I come to thee. Hey, you know what? This would be a good thing for you and me to say. I come to thee this day, today. I want to come today in the power of God, right? I come to thee, listen to this, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. How are you going to live today? How are you going to live tomorrow and the next day and the next day? We better come to that day in the name of the Lord. We better be looking to him and trusting that he is going to intervene on our behalf. Because one thing I know for sure, in the 30 plus some odd years that I've been serving the Lord, we will never succeed in our strength. We'll never do it. Oh, we might think we did, but it won't do anything for God. See, when the Holy Spirit's at work, things are taking place, things are changing, and you and I ought to not quit until we see God working in our own personal lives for his glory. Did you hear? Listen, God's concerned about what's going on in your life. You will give an account. I will give an account for what took place in my life and not anybody else's. So, Lord, what are you doing? And if I'm not seeing you work in my life, maybe I'm not in the right place for you to work with me, and I want to be there. And you don't have to worry about getting yourself in the right place. All you have to do is tell God, I want to be in the right place. God will bring you even there. Amen. You don't have to worry about taking yourself to the right place. You just have to tell God, I want you to use me, God. Amen. And I'm going to trust you that you're working on all things. Listen, and I will just tell you, the Word of God will tell you up front, when you ask God, be prepared, he will take you seriously. And be prepared that when he starts working on you, he's trying to take out the rough edges that he might use you for his honor and glory. And thank the Lord and stop and say, Lord, I know I don't like it, but I know you're doing this for my good. So I praise your name. That's why I can give thanks in all things, because God's working them out for our good. And so David had already been walking with the Lord in that way. And I will tell you, for the most part, as I see it in our day and age, it takes, for whatever reason, we take the long road instead of having God working in our lives shortly after salvation. It may be 10, 20, 30 or plus years before we really can experience the Lord's work. For whatever reason, we don't understand it. I don't know what the difficulty is, but David said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Then, with that being said, he put God out in the forefront. This day, he didn't say that I'll do this. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. This is a revelation from the Lord that was given to David when he on his way to go see King Saul. Somewhere when David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that has defied the armies of the living God? Who is this? Who does he think he is? Man, may you and I be jealous for the glory of God. We'll be on the winning side. But listen, David was jealous for the glory of God in his own personal life. That was the difference between him, Eliab, and King Saul. Do you know what King Saul was concerned about? Remember when he offered the sacrifice when he wasn't supposed to, and he asked Samuel to do the sacrifice now? He was concerned about what the people were seeing. Honor me now, he said, in front of the people. He was not concerned about his disobedience to God. He excused himself and took upon himself the robe of flesh that never will honor and glorify the Lord. And so David had this happening in his life. And he said, listen, I want you to know that this day, verse 46, Will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee? Listen, David wasn't wishy-washy about this. I don't know if this giant was so full of himself that didn't even touch him. But David knew what God was going to do. And by the way, God wants us to know what God is going to do and is faithful to do in our lives for his glory. In fact, listen, let's back up just to verse 45 just for a moment. This then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will... David is pronouncing the Lord's judgment on him. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and listen, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. Question, has this message gone throughout the whole world? And by the way, David said this, I want to remind you, this day I'm going to take your head off. And David had no sword. But Lord, I have no sword. Did he say that? But we say, but Lord, I can't do these things. Does God know what's in our hands? Does God know our frailties? Forget about our abilities. Until we see our frailty and the power of God intervening on our behalf, we won't do much for God. We won't have the... We just keep looking to ourselves. Don't ever expect to glorify the Lord because you're trying harder. Don't ever expect that. God won't bless it. I know you love God. I do too. And I will tell you, I rededicated. I recommitted. I poured my heart out many times at the altar. Oh, God! And God never answered a bit of that. Do you know why? Because, bless God, I was going to do better next time. You know what God was waiting for me to do? To tell him I can't. In fact, this might strike you a little odd. I won't. I won't do anything for you, God, unless you do it through me. That's where God's trying to bring us. Oh, the flesh says, oh, you won't do anything for God? What kind of gospel is that? It's the truth. Because God can't do anything while we're busy trying to do it for him. When you stop doing it for him and see that you can't do it, how long is it going to take you to get there? It took me over 30 years, I think. Or at least over 25 years. I want you to do it for me, God, because you promised to. Did David say, this is what I'm going to do for God? Or did he say, the Lord's going to do this day? David's assurance. And he says, I want you to know that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth. Listen to this. Not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Oh, what Eliab didn't see, and all the other Israelites, and oh, what King Saul could not see, and oh, what the church, if they're not careful, is missing out on today. That God will do it for us. Last thought. The power of the Holy Spirit in David in action. Look at verse 48. So he says, hey, the Lord is going to deliver you into our hands. And by the way, that's important to consider as well. David didn't say into my hands, into our hands. Do you know why? Listen, God was wanting all of Israel to get on board. God wants the whole body, the whole church, to experience his great grace in their everyday lives that the world might see the light of God in us, in you. And so, listen, David was already experiencing this. He was already walking in this truth. And notice what happens here. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose, after he heard David, this Philistine gets up, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He hastened and ran. That means as fast as he could. Please, it wasn't David. It was the Holy Spirit in David in action. It will never be us. It won't even be, it'll be us in the sense of, because the Holy Spirit indwells us. But it must be of God, or it won't glorify him. And David knew that. Can you get that? When you listen to him, can you hear that he is glorifying the Lord? He's giving God not most of the credit. He gave him all the credit. Every bit of it. And so he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Man, is that a little bit of confidence? Where did that come from? It came from God, didn't it? In David. Verse 49. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. He's a big man. And took his sword and drew it out. Where was his sword if he drew it out? He didn't even think he needed a sword. Well, he didn't really, because it was a one-shot done deal. And drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Isn't that amazing? David said, today, your head's coming off. He had no sword. God had already revealed to him, and maybe not at that particular moment. All he was doing was he was in tune with the Holy Spirit, and he said, this was going to be the outcome. And so what happened was, he said, you just take care of the first step and stand against the giant. And his first step was to run towards him. That is not natural. That is supernatural. David would tell you. That was God moving him. And how about that stone? No, it was God in the stone that found its mark. And then what was the next thing? Well, God said I was going to take his head off. There's a sword. And David followed the Lord. And David followed the Lord. Do you know what God wants our testimony to be? And you followed the Lord. And you followed the Lord. All you have to do is say, God, listen, I want to follow you everywhere and in every way. And I need you to guide me because I don't know how to go. I want to follow you, God. Do you think God will hear that prayer? Anywhere and everywhere, if you'll lead me. Do you think God will hear that prayer? I think he will. The real question, and I'm going to ask it like this. Are you ready to call upon the Lord for him to do that? So God gives us that invitation, does he not? Our opportunity, his invitation, our opportunity to be the inheritance to his honor and glory in the saints, that's mind-boggling to me. But the choice is ours. The invitation is the Lord's. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the leadership of your Holy Spirit that brings us to understand more about you. We ask that you bless Northwood Baptist Church to experience your grace and your power in a way that honors and glorifies you and brings praise and honor to you from our lips. Bless your people. Bless your church. Build it, Lord, for your honor and glory. And may we call upon you to fulfill your will in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.